Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Ron. Do we have sound? I couldn't hear Ron, so I just, when the mic left, he was through. So, yeah, I guess we have sound and we are transmitting, so very good. We'll begin. So this is the time of year that we focus especially on the matter of giving thanks. Holidays, all of them. But Thanksgiving may be my favorite. Unlike the Independence Day events and the Christmas gift rush and the New Year's party, Thanksgiving leads us simply to our hearth and home. To our friends and family. And it gives us pause to consider what we are thankful for, and hopefully that we have the grace to recognize it. Here's a bit of trivia. Thanksgiving Day, which is this coming up Thursday, is a national holiday in the U.S. commemorating the harvest reaped by the Plymouth Colony in 1621. The first national Thanksgiving Day was proclaimed by President Washington for November 26, 1789. President Lincoln revived the custom in 1863. And in 1941, Congress decreed that Thanksgiving should fall on the fourth Thursday of November. The customary turkey dinner is a reminder of the four wild turkeys served at the Pilgrims' first Thanksgiving feast. So, welcome everyone, and let's take a few minutes now and meet and greet one another. You may leave a message on the board or leave a comment. And I'll be playing music from Trisette, from her album, Here On In. It's called Happy. Thank you. Well, thank you, everyone. At this time, I'd like to give a brief explanation of the purpose of Awakening Together. So Barb may put up a link where you can access our purpose and values. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths and many cultures and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. You may read more about our purpose and values on our website. And for those listening in on the radio, the website is www.awakening-together.org. And then look under About Us for Purpose and Values. To illustrate one of our core values, I'd like to relate a story. A blind boy sat on the steps of a building with a hat by his feet. Beside the boy was a sign which read, "I am blind, please help." There were only a few coins in the hat, and a man was walking by, and he took a few coins from his pocket and dropped them into the hat. He then took the sign and turned it around and wrote some words. He put the sign back so that everyone who walked by could see the new words. And soon the hat began to fill up. A lot of people were giving money to the blind boy. That afternoon, the man who had changed the sign came by to see how things were. The boy, recognizing his footsteps, asked, "Were you the one that changed my sign this morning? What did you write?" The man said, "I wrote only the truth. I said that what you said, but in a different way. I wrote, 'Today is a beautiful day, but I cannot see it.'" Both signs told the people that the boy was blind, but the first sign simply said the boy was blind. And the second sign told people that they were lucky that they were not blind. So should we be surprised that the second sign was more effective? So our fifth core value states, we accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. So the moral of the story is, be thankful for what you have. Be creative. Be innovative. Think differently and positively. When life gives you 100 reasons to cry, show life that you have 1,000 reasons to smile. Face your past without regret, handle your present with confidence, and prepare for the future without fear. Keep the love and drop the fear. The most beautiful thing is to see a person smiling. And even more beautiful is knowing that you are the reason behind it. So before we get started, I have a couple of announcements to make. Regina Don Akers is returning from her trip to India this week. And I say returning, actually, she's back home now. But she will take the next week to catch up on her emails and other things that have piled up while she was gone, and to recuperate from the jet lag and from her travels. But she will be here to lead next Sunday's service on December 1st, and I'm sure she'll tell you of her experience in India then. So be sure to be here next Sunday to hear her. Also, ACIM Gather has become Awakening Together. Most of the content on the website acimgather.org has been transferred to awakeningtogether.org. But if you have bookmarked the program guide on acimgather, look for the weekly schedule of presenters on Awakening Together and update your bookmark. The remainder of the content under the tabs Program Guide, Lesson Calendar, Teachers, Audio, Links, and FAQ will be taken offline December 1st. The homepage will be left up for a few months to point users to the Awakening Together site. So if there's any content on the acimgather.org, like in the lesson calendar or the teachers or the audio tabs, that you would like to keep, please download it before December 1st. So you have about a week left to do that. So now it's time for our opening music, and I've selected a piece from Ben Gilberti's collection, and it's called Spiritus Magnificat. For our opening prayer today, I'd like to play some background music from the Benedictine monks of Santo Domingo de Silos from their album called Chant. And while the monks chant, let's quiet our minds and enter into prayer. We thank you, Father, for the many gifts that come to us today and every day from every son of God. They are unlimited in all their gifts. May we offer them our thankfulness, that gratitude to them may lead us to our Creator and His holy gifts to us. We come in gratitude and thankfulness with empty hands and open hearts and minds, asking but what you give. We thank you, Father, that we cannot lose the memory of you and your love. We recognize our safety and give thanks for the gifts that you have bestowed on us, for the loving help we have received, for your eternal patience, and the word which you have given us, that we are saved. Amen. Our inspirational reading by an Awakening Together member today will be done by Judy Frisk, my wife. And she will be reading a passage from Journey Beyond Words by Brent Haskell. It's called Gratitude.
Greetings again. I am Jesua. I have come this day to further with you my discussion of A Course in Miracles. Today, I would speak with you of gratitude. Your recent lessons may have spoken of gratitude. It is true that gratitude, as gratitude really is difficult to understand. For as you, in your world, think of gratitude, the tendency is nearly always to feel that gratitude is something you extend in response to a gift or blessing you have received from someone else. You likewise view gratitude as something which is returned to you by someone to whom you have given a blessing or gift. There is a tendency within the world to feel that gratitude is somehow an obligation. If someone gives you a gift, be it material or a gift of the Spirit, you feel it inappropriate not to say, at the least, thank you, which is to honor the giver of the gift. The counterpart is that if you extend a gift of love to another being, you have a tendency to feel that the receiver should, hear the word should, acknowledge somehow the gift you have given him, even if with nothing more than a simple thank you. And you call the return after the receipt of a gift gratitude. I have come to tell you today, this is a misperception of what gratitude really is. Gratitude is a blessing so great you can hardly imagine. Gratitude is a blessing that comes to you without recourse automatically when first and when at once you love. Hear me well. I have spoken to you these many weeks of love and the love of God. Love, which is your reality, love, which is of God, love, which is the glue of the universe, is not possible so long as you value anything of this world. And love and gratitude, real gratitude, go hand in hand. Likewise, so long as you would value this world, you cannot know the blessing of your own gratitude or the seeming gratitude of others. When you receive a gift from another and you feel in some sense that you should or want to return a thank you, that being a measure of gratitude, then you are valuing. And what you have done in that moment of perception when you have felt gratitude toward another, you have felt and you have created a separation between you and the other being whom you perceived to be the giver of the gift you felt you received. For is it not true that in order for you to receive a gift from another, even be it a gift of love, you must first have defined within your thinking a being separate from yourself who could extend to you that love, or that something which you did not have? And I tell you, that is an impossibility. That notion is the source of your earthly gratitude. Hear me well. In this moment, in every moment, be it of the past or of what you call the future, there exists nothing ever which you do not already have. Try, if you can, for a moment to allow yourself beyond your thinking, beyond the academics, beyond the imaginings, to feel something of what I have just said. Always, in every aspect of your existence, in this world or apart from it, there is nothing which you, your one self, does not already have. You have everything. Now, hear me well once again. You are everything. Try to feel within the depths of your being, beyond your thinking, the fullness, the richness, the peace, the aliveness, the certainty that must be yours when once you realize there is nothing, nothing in the world of spirit, nothing in the world of illusion, which is not already yours. You are not a body. You are free. You are just as God created you. And God created you thusly, that whatever you choose to create, to imagine, to feel into your existence is yours. Hear me well, once again. I have told you, seemingly over and over, you have created every aspect of your own existence. Once again, there is nothing outside yourself to give you anything. There is nothing outside yourself to receive the little gifts you might imagine you have given. Remember, in your imaginings of this world, you are actually wishing for and creating separation. And ultimately, your true gratitude, and therefore your love, will rest upon your awareness within your being that you are the Holy Son of God, co-creator with all that is, and co-creator of all that is. And in that awareness, you shall know that separation is not possible. Now, I have said to you, you cannot love, you cannot know gratitude, if you still limit yourself by your values.
Thank you, Judy. She just read from Journey Beyond Words by Brent Haskell, the passage called Gratitude. And today, I wish to talk to you about gratitude. Lao Tzu in the Tao Te Ching gives us his messages from the powerful 46th verse that are applicable today in our personal life. Practice gratitude and contentment every day. When you're feet hit the floor every single morning, without exception, say thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to live in a state of gratitude and contentment. You're in harmony with your source when you're soliciting gratitude and gratification in these ways. Immerse yourself in prayers of gratitude, praise, and adoration. Gratitude, above all, is the key to unlocking the rapture hidden in the heart that can give us the energy and the passion to set about the restoration of love and compassion and balance on every level and every realm of the world. We walk this earth with our hearts overflowing with gratitude for the gorgeous beauty of all creation. We praise our Creator with our hearts bursting with gratitude for having been given the supreme gift of divine consciousness by the Beloved. One of the things that we all discover when we make the practices of gratitude the core of our sacred practice is that they initiate us into an ever-deepening experience of love that is manifest in the whole cosmos, the love that's appearing in both the good and the seeming trials of our life, the love that's working on us through this monumental shift in which everything is at stake and everything is possible. When we pray for that love to become even more intense in ever-deepening gratitude, we become human beings possessed by the divine in our hearts and our minds. And we learn to dedicate all of our realization by our gratitude to working in the world with a sacred mission that is at the very core of our embodiment. Prayer and gratitude. It's said that the only prayer worthwhile and meaningful is the prayer of gratitude. In the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, NTI, in the book Luke, chapter 18, in verses 1 through 14, we read, "Prayer is a practice that increases faith and willingness, for prayer is an act of gratitude. Whenever you pray, whatever you may be saying, you are also saying within your heart and beyond the words, 'I believe there is more than this which I experience as reality. I am willing to extend my faith and follow this path that I may know the truth which eludes me now.' Continue to pray that your faith and willingness may be increased through your own desire to have it so. Listen not to your own voice, which tells you how right you are in all that you think. Remember that I have asked you to lay your thoughts aside. Here is why I make this request. Now you have a definition of yourself that you believe. It includes preferences and judgments and all manner of concepts that tell you who you are. But these concepts do not tell you who you are. Each and every one of them tells you who you are not." And in NTI Acts, chapter 1, verses 12 to 26, we read, "The first step to listening within for the guidance of the Holy Spirit is prayer. But to hear Him truly, you must pray in a way that opens to Him. Prayer is not a time of asking for what you want. Prayer is a time of putting aside that which you want and opening to any guidance that He would give. Prayer is a time of gratitude for His love and wisdom. Prayer is a time of surrender because you seek nothing less than His love, wisdom, and guidance for you. Therefore, pray in this way. Father, I do not know what is best for me now, in this time and this place, that I may be led back to You. Because I cannot see the path I am ready to walk, take my hand and send me Your voice to guide me. I shall go where it asks me to go. I shall do as it asks me to do, in joy and peace and certainty. The second step to listening for guidance is this. You must trust. You must not only trust the voice and the guidance you receive, but you must trust yourself. For the guidance comes from you through your knowing that is beyond conscious choice. To doubt yourself is to doubt your guidance. So you must trust yourself and trust what comes. And in NTI Acts chapter 4, pray then in this way, O Father, I come to You now in humility and gratitude. I am humble because I realize that I do not know how to see. I cannot see the Holy Spirit's plan, and so I do not know what I look upon. But I also come in gratitude because I trust that the Holy Spirit does know, and the plan is safe with Him as the overseer of all things. Amen. Then give yourself to Your Father's will, offering that you may be used for the purpose of healing without the desire to judge. This is to lay yourself aside and to do your part in your Father's plan. This is God's will for you, and this is how you can be useful to the whole. You know, prayer is a brain activity that can actually be scientifically measured. There are benefits that prayer offers to your physical, mental, and emotional well-being. So prayer has been scientifically proven to provide these benefits: improve immune function, boost your resistance to illness and disease, reduce stress and lower your blood pressure, enhance your memory and mental function, reduce impact from chronic pain, give you a more positive, healthier, longer, and happier outlook on life with less stress and increased peace of mind. So on this Thursday, on Thanksgiving Day, and in this Thanksgiving season, I encourage you to count your blessings, like good friends, families, and good food. Many families will sit down to a big Thanksgiving feast for which they give thanks or say grace, and that's a good thing. Prayer and thanksgiving before a meal conditions the body and mind to make the best use of the nutrition received. It's likely that we all know people who are struggling valiantly for good health. Many have had accidents or illnesses which they could not have foreseen or avoided. But to be honest, much of our suffering is predictable and preventable. Most of us inherit good health, and being thankful for that should inspire us to work hard to keep it that way. I chose my parents wisely and was given the gift of good health right out of the gates. But later in life, I made some poor choices with nutrition in maintaining my good health, and I've had to suffer the consequences for those poor choices. I had to pay the price for that. By learning about good nutrition, I have recovered from some of the damage done, and now I aim to keep it that way, and I encourage you to do the same by staying focused on the joys of maintaining great health. It starts with the right attitude, guiding us to the four key components of great health that are easily within our reach every day. They include good nutrition, regular exercise, restful sleep, and well-managed stress. So I learned to eat plenty of raw, organic fruits and vegetables. I learned that berries are the best fruits to eat. I get my protein from lentils and beans and quinoa, and I don't eat a lot of meat, but when I do, I choose lean sources such as fish or organic grass-fed meats and poultry. I eat healthy oils such as coconut oil and olive oil, and I snack on seeds and nuts and include plenty of water. Also with diet, be mindful of eating. Take time to stop and savor and enjoy. Seek a balance of food groups. Use a small plate to help maintain portion control. And stop eating before you are stuffed. You know, it takes about 20 minutes for the brain to catch up with the tummy, and we usually eat way more than necessary to be satisfied. Now, I'm not saying that it's bad or wrong to overindulge once in a while, like at a Thanksgiving feast, but be kind to your body and use control in moderation. And as for the other three essentials of maintaining good health, exercise, sleep, and managing stress, we are all designed to exercise. Strive to do some form of exercise every day. And remember that sleep is so essential for great health. You know, it's easy to get up early. You just have to go to bed early. And remember that chronic stress is a killer. Managing stress means taking time every day to break the stress cycle. And this is easily done with a few minutes of deep breathing or grounding activities such as meditation or yoga. The most important things in life are not things. Great health, like great friends and family, is a blessing that requires work to sustain. So this Thanksgiving, be thankful for your health and make the everyday choices that help make it great. Leonard Jacobson said, "More than anything else, God responds to the energy of gratitude." And I'd like to conclude with a poem about prayer. A minister passing through his church in the middle of the day decided to pause by the altar to see who had come to pray. Just then the back door opened and a man came in down the aisle. The minister frowned when he saw the man hadn't shaved in a while. His shirt was torn and shabby. His coat was worn and frayed. The man knelt down and bowed his head, then rose and walked away. In the days that followed, at precisely noon, the preacher saw this chap. Each time he knelt, for just a moment, a lunch pail in his lap. Well, the minister's suspicions grew, with robbery a main fear. He decided to stop and ask the man, "What are you doing here?" The old man said he was a factory worker and lunch was half an hour. Lunchtime was his prayer time for finding strength and power. "I stay only a moment because the factory's far away. As I kneel here talking to the Lord, this is kind of what I say. I just came by to tell you, Lord, how happy I have been since we found each other's friendship and you took away my sin. Don't know much of how to pray, but I think about you every day. So, Jesus, this is Ben, just checking in today." The minister, feeling foolish, told Ben that it was fine. He told the man that he was welcome to pray there any time. "It's time to go, and thanks," said Ben as he hurried to the door. Then the minister knelt there before the altar, which he'd never done before. His cold heart melted, warmed with love, as he met with Jesus there. As the tears flowed down his cheeks, he repeated old Ben's prayer. "I just came by to tell you, Lord, how happy I have been since we found each other's friendship and you took away my sin. Don't know much of how to pray, but I think about you every day. So, Jesus, this is me, just checking in today." Past noon one day, the minister noticed that old Ben hadn't come. As more days passed, and still no Ben, he began to worry some. At the factory, he asked about him, learning that he was ill. The hospital staff was worried, but he'd given them a thrill. The week that Ben was gone with them, he brought changes in the ward. His smiles and joy, contagious, changed people, were his reward. The head nurse couldn't understand why Ben could be so glad. With no flowers, calls, or cards came, no visitor he had. The minister stayed by his bed and noticed voiced the nurse's concern. No friends had come to show they cared. He had nowhere to turn. Looking surprised, old Ben spoke up with a winsome smile. "The nurse is wrong. She couldn't know. He's been here all the while. Every day at noon, he comes here. A dear friend of mine, you see. He sits right down and takes my hand, leans over and says to me, 'I just came by to tell you, Ben, how happy I have been since we found this friendship and I took away your sin. I think about you always and love to hear you pray. So, Ben, this is Jesus, just checking in today.'" So now we have time for meditation and contemplation. And during this musical interlude, you can take time to think about the message and about gratitude and prayer. What are some of the things that you are grateful for? This is music by Fiona J. Hawkins from her album 600 Years in a Moment. This is also a time that we accept a donation or an offering. So we pass the basket, so to speak, and Barb will post a link where you can make a donation to Awakening Together. We deeply appreciate your gifts and offerings. They're used to support this organization, Awakening Together. We acknowledge that all giving comes from the hearts of our members and friends, and we are grateful and we thank you for your donations. Thank you. So now we have about 10 minutes for sharing, and I'd like to invite you to share your thoughts based on today's teaching of gratitude and prayer. So just raise your hand, and I will pass the mic over to you. So what are some of the things that you are grateful for? Oh, okay, I see Dove's hand is up.
All right, thank you so much, Phil. And it was a wonderful, wonderful sharing. Gratitude is such a key word. I love that lesson 195 in A Course in Miracles. Love is the way I walk in gratitude. And yes, I think that's pretty much what coming to this world is all about. We kind of go through lessons that allow us to be thankful for everything that we have received. Everything. I'm going to change this setting, maybe it'd be easier for everyone to hear. I'm not sure. Okay, let me change the setting. Okay, that should be a little bit better. I'm not sure if I was heard earlier, but yeah, I think that's the purpose of coming here, is to actually learn the fruits, the love that gratitude actually inspires in opening our hearts and our minds. And yes, I think that trust is certainly, as the first characteristic of God's teachers, is, at least for me, was necessary to actually learn to follow the prompts and not question and just see what life has in store. And then, of course, you never know what anything is for, but everything is really for our healing. And for this, we are grateful for sure, especially in this season of Thanksgiving. But every day is really Thanksgiving. If you wake up in the morning, you open your eyes, you're already in the class of gratitude. I'm going to share a story that was on posted in our Facebook group, which is called it's an extension basically of everything we do here. Is called the Open Minds for ACIM and NTI. And if you are a member of Facebook and you're not really a member, you haven't joined Open Minds yet, please do. But this is the story of basically a really very clear idea of what to be grateful for. Here it is. I'm going to see if I can post it here. Yeah, it does post. Story told by a man named Michael Johnson. And it says, to the barefoot man, happiness is a pair of shoes. To the man with old shoes, it's a pair of new shoes. To the man with new shoes, it's more stylish shoes. And of course, to the fellow with no feet, he would be happy to be barefoot. Measure your life by what you have, not by what you don't. And I thought that was a very succinct and clear that is not anyone who doesn't hear the message in those words. To be grateful, to be happy for what you have, not to be having grievances for what you don't. The grievances block the light in me. The light shines when I am actually sharing the love of God that I am, that I am as God created. I am not what I think I made of myself. And that is really the only thing that we really have here, which I think we all come here to learn. That is what awakening is, that God is but love, and therefore so am I. That we are the love of God, that I am sustained by the love of God. I'm under no laws but the love of God. I'm under no laws but God's laws, the laws of love. And love just loves. Love just extends. It is the truth that is eternal, that we are born into, and that we share and extend with all. I want to thank everyone. Of course, most of you already know. I see Jelly Bean 7 in the room. I think that just want to mention that that should be our scribe, who should be on tonight at 7 p.m. Just a change of time. He is a scribe of from the Christ Mind. So just want to remind you to come West Coast time at 4 o'clock instead of the usual 5. And that is, of course, Daryl Price. Okay, back to what I was saying. Most of you know that I did have a, I'll use the word, miraculous healing. I was really certain of my healing. I had certainty. My daily prayers was, "Thy will be done. Thy will is done. Our will is one." And I place the future in the hands of God. And that's all that we can really do here, because we don't really control anything. It's, if I think that, as a matter of fact, there's something out there that I need to negotiate or plan or this or that, well, I'm not really trusting, am I? I have gone through a lot of it in the last month or so, and I'm not saying I'm completely cured of the idea that of being totally trusting, which means I need do nothing except not to interfere. But I think that that is really God's plan for salvation, is to recognize that we are all perfectly cared for. We are all perfectly cared for. And that is a message that was given to me, which I gladly share. We're maybe not aware of that right here, right now. Each must learn it in their own way. It sounds lovely, but it's for each to learn through their own experience. And for all of that, I am truly grateful for the lessons that I have learned. And I think that that's pretty much what, whether you're doing this course or any course, first you talk the talk, and then finally it's time to walk your talk. And yes, I think that is where the gratitude comes from, and that all that I have actually learned, which is really nothing except not to interfere, I need to do nothing, is really just a wonderful way to rest, accept, and trust. Okay, I'm going to turn this mic back to you. Thank you so much, Reverend Phil Friss. Thank you all for being here and joining in. And thank you so much, Regina, for inspiring awakening together.
Wow, thank you, Dove. It's really wonderful to hear how well you're doing and to give praises for the healing. Thank you. So we still have about 5 or 10 minutes for sharing. Who else would like to, tell us what you are thankful for? Okay, Lynn, I'll turn the mic over to you.
I'm really thankful for the new clarity of mind, clarity of thinking that has I've been really graced with. It did take practice. It did take really looking at my mind and looking at my thoughts. And, you know, I'm grateful also to Regina for having put together a class on true discernment that listening to and thinking and journaling and looking at my thoughts has been so very helpful. And now we're putting together a class similar for people who are admins in the room here. And I'm so grateful to be a part of making that possible and finding that as I'm working on this class, I'm even getting more clarity. And so that's the miracle. I mean, the absolute miracle is having the change in mind to be able to see the truth and to recognize that all is well. And I'm so joyful about that. So thank you, Holy Spirit, for making my life what it is and giving me the gifts of grace that I've received. Amen. And turn the mic over to Dances.
Hi, good morning. Every time I think of when somebody mentions prayer, that's a change that I made to my prayers is that I don't ask for things anymore. I automatically go to thank you for this, especially when I'm having a sense of lack or any situation where it feels uncomfortable, unclear, or painful in any way. I take it to the present tense. Okay, Robbie says he can't hear me. Anyways, that's all I had. Anything that I think is coming up as a problem, I just think, you know, I just go in prayer and say, thank you for healing this, or thank you for showing me the blessing in this, you know, whatever words feel appropriate at the time. But it's, we're all course people here for the most part, and and it tells us, and it's just so obvious, really, after going through some experiences, like what Dove just described, too, to just see it. God knows before we ask. God isn't aware of anything that isn't real. So I don't want to go into all that. Everybody knows all that stuff. So that's really to say about that, to just be thankful automatically. I don't need to ask for anything because it's already here. I just don't see it yet. So thanks. Giving up the mic.
Good morning. What I'm grateful for this morning, and I just found out last night, is about Dove's recovery. It was something that was, I don't know exactly how to describe how I felt when I read what I was on somebody's Facebook page, and I read that, and I didn't know anything about it, and I was so excited because I love you, and I know that in form you are really me and in my mind, but you know what you've done for all of us, and I might not come on here all the time to, you know, like I used to, but I carry you in my heart, and I was thrilled last week. I went to visit Cher, and I got to speak to you, Dove, and it was just so precious the way you sounded, and it was like, you know, everything's perfect. I'm like, well, okay, there he is, my teacher. Everything's always perfect, you know? And as long as I'm not listening to my mind, because my mind doesn't see things the same way as the Holy Spirit does. So for your willingness to love the truth, and you certainly are a great example of that. So for me today, my gratitude goes to the healing of Dharma. Thank you. Dr. Mike.
Wow, thank you. Thank you, all of you, for your comments and your participation. And now I have a closing song. It's by Fiona Joy Hawkins, and it's from her album. It's called Blue Dream, Song Phonique. Well, thank you again, everyone, for your attendance today. Thanks to our reading assistant, Judy Frisk, and to our administrator, Barb DeWorter. Please stay tuned if you have time and join us for an hour of fellowship following immediately right here in this room. Thank you. And I will release the mic.